Welcome to the Arendt Podcast Luxembourg, our podcast channel that explores the latest legal, regulatory, and market updates in Luxembourg and beyond. Discover our podcast series, all about private debt, and listen to what our experts and guest speakers have to say about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges in the private debt market.
Hello, and welcome to our private debt podcast series. I'm Nicolas Bouvray, and in today's episode, we will talk about the NPL market in Europe. For this, we have the pleasure of welcoming two guest speakers, Jan Ottenbreit, a director at EOS Group, and Lars Nondorf, a principal counsel also at EOS Group. Welcome both. I will let you introduce yourself and also say a few words about the EOS Group and its activities.
Thanks so much, Nicolas. My name is Jan. I'm an investment director with EOS since a little bit over 5 years, mostly active in Eastern Europe and lately also in Western Europe, doing transactions across the space of secured NPLs, unsecured, and real estate investments. Handing over to Lars.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Nicolas. Thanks for having us. Yeah, my name is Lars. I'm principal counsel at EOS group level in Hamburg. And yeah, I've been with EOS for the last 3 years after some 15 years in wider financing. And I'm mainly busy for EOS in setting up bigger acquisition structures for EOS, for the EOS investments and the investments EOS has with its investment partners like, and we might touch about that later, the IFC. Yeah, again, thanks for having us.
And thank you both for joining. So maybe let's first set the scene and give a general market view. So EOS is one of the main actors on the NPL market. And to start this session, I'd like one of you to share your views on the state of the NPL market and really looking back on 2022, was it for you guys a good year? How has the NPL market performed in the current market environment? Maybe Jan, you want to take this one?
Yeah, pleasure to do so. Maybe firstly to elaborate a little bit on EOS itself. So, I mean, we're quite a big organization when it comes to having a presence in Europe. So we're active in 24 European countries and we have a, you know, comparatively large presence in each on the individual markets. We are active as an investor. We are part of the Otto Group in Germany, which is a conglomerate of businesses belonging to the Otto family. However, we are basically investing on the balance sheet of the Otto Group. We are, you know, fully investing our own money. However, on the side, we are also fully operating a servicing business in each of our markets. So it's a quite integrated business model when it comes to that. And looking back into 2022, it was a very, very dynamic year for obvious reasons. Looking at the macroeconomics, what happened with inflation and the interest levels, but also obviously what happened in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine, it really shook up the market. Also talking about the NPL market in particular. Despite of that, we saw basically record high investments as from EOS perspective, mostly in really established NPL markets like Spain, like Greece, but also France and Portugal. However, also still throughout the Eastern European region. In fact, we invested more than 1.2 billion euros across the last year, which is really a standing out record for EOS to invest. Investment levels were growing also before that, pretty much steady over the recent years, with a small exception of 2020, which was quite riddled by the COVID pandemic. But in that sense, last year was a very successful year in terms of investments. However, going forward, it will be very interesting how the shakeup in macroeconomics and funding costs will move the market. That was already seen basically by mid of last year. Sort of the wave was crushing and the first transactions received much lower price tags because of the cost of funding. And I think this is going to shape the sector going forward.
Mm-hmm. Let's maybe then continue on EOS and its activities. I think, Lars, you mentioned in the introduction this partnership project with the IFC that you've done in 2022 to invest in NPL portfolios in certain Eastern European countries. Now, this is obviously a big project with a financial dimension to it, but also kind of a direct impact on how the real economy is financed in the region. So can you tell us a bit more about this and how do you decide to do this together with IFC? And on the other hand, what's the opportunity for EOS in that kind of project?
Yeah, thanks, Nicola. I'd agree. It's quite an interesting project, I guess, both for the IFC, but also for EOS in the markets. I'll just tell about in a second. Well, as probably you and listeners know, the IFC is a member of the World Bank. It's the largest global development financing institution. And they're also, beside various other sectors, doing investments and mobilizing investment in distressed assets. So they aim for providing relief to debtors, providing liquidity to banks, and also strengthen and create markets for distressed debts. And all that is something like a, well, yeah, joint goal we at EOS and IFC have. And that also brought us together some 12 years ago also on another investment with the IFC. So we have been knowing each other pretty well for quite a while. And it was then a couple of years ago that EOS teams and IFC teams sat together and decided we would do another investment structure focusing on Eastern Europe, in particular four countries, being Bosnia, Croatia, Romania, and Serbia, where we would like to together invest into secured non-performing loans, meaning NPLs, which have security attached to it, mainly mortgages and also real estate assets. Because we found that those markets, and Jan, you may also add some words if you wish, because those markets seem to be very interesting to us. We have a large and really experienced presence with our asset manager entities on the ground. On the other side, those markets, those four markets, aren't really the core focus, I would say, of very big institutional investors. So we saw an opportunity to go in there, to make investments, and also to promote through our investment structure some features that structure has also on the ESG, environmental, social, and government side, where both EOS and IFC really put a strong focus on.
Yeah, and maybe to add on this, I think EOS and IFC are quite a good match when it comes to these particular markets, because as Lars said, there's not a big presence of international investment funds, so there's not a big liquidity in those markets, where certainly IFC comes in with their mandate, but also as EOS, we have a quite long-term strategy on these markets, and also comparatively small markets like Croatia, for example, where we have a large presence and are there, you know, for good, basically. And in that sense, I think IFC also liked our long-term approach, our patient capital. And for us, obviously, IFC is also a good partner next to providing that capital, but also in order to team up and develop these markets further, where they have also a little bit of a different approach, actually developing the financial sector further. Yeah. Which is also helping us as EOS in the long-term perspective. Mm-hmm.
And so this project with IFC actually somehow brought you to Luxembourg, as EOS has chosen Luxembourg to establish its investment platform, starting with the IFC project. So this is your first fund structure in Luxembourg. I think many private credit platforms, including NPL actors, have made the same choice. I'd like to hear a bit from you. You know, what was important for you in selecting the right fund domicile, the right country for this project? And can you maybe tell us a bit about this experience, first experience in Luxembourg?
Yeah, happy to take that, Nicolas. Well, EOS is absolutely not new to bigger investments and also to fund structures, investing through them and also setting them up. But indeed, it was our first one in Luxembourg, and which took us to Luxembourg and which also took us to you and your team, because you supported us, was, well, the result of a, well, pretty intense diligence and making up our mind, and together with our partner IFC. So it was like probably for each investor a mix of consideration on the commercial side, on the market side, what kind of industry service providers do you have, what is the cost side, what do you have on the tax side on the benefit of that and that jurisdiction. And obviously for an investor like EOS, it's also good to have a well tested and reputable safe jurisdiction like Luxembourg is. So we indeed looked at various places like Ireland. We also looked at Germany, which is our home country for the group, but we ended in Luxembourg, because yeah, we liked indeed the industry. You have ample opportunities to find decent service provider. We felt the regulatory and in parts also the tax system is taking care of fund sponsors and also investors. So in the end, it was quite an easy decision to go to Luxembourg, provided you have the right vehicle to invest through. And we also, I think, we found that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's maybe now look forward and spend a bit of time talking about the future of the NPL market. So we know that a large part of the market still represents kind of legacy NPLs from the global financial crisis. But in the current environment, you know, post-pandemic and current economic background that we see, and also the evolution of the secondary loans market, how do you see the future of the NPL market? How do you see it evolving, and what do you think are the kind of main challenges for the actors on this market? That's maybe one for you, Jan, I think.
Yeah, let me take that. Again, like looking back to last year, you could see that we had really skyrocketing big volumes in the market. And I think this has been a theme over the last years, that banks increasingly have turned to the market to tackle their NPL problem. And they're very likely to increase this behavior going forward. We have still larger markets, like Poland, for example, which are still kind of developing in the sense that all the banks are turning to the market to get rid of their NPLs. And then on the same time, we have established markets like Spain, France, Italy, where also volumes are still increasing, even though the volumes in the system obviously are decreasing compared to where they are, which were obviously very, very high levels after the financial crisis. However, even though levels in general in the EU or in Europe are decreasing, the activity on the market is actually increasing. So coming from that, and then obviously what we are now seeing from a macro perspective, which is not really, you know, favoring the repayment of debts with rising financing costs and revenues going down, obviously there's ample potential for new NPLs. And maybe let me also add some words why we were pretty happy now to have that Luxembourg fund structure, which brings us into a position to be also more flexible in taking on outside capital for particular opportunities, whether that's very large deals where we would like to work with other investors, or taking up opportunities more from a medium longer term perspective with real outside capital. And there, because we were doing co-investments in many countries already in the past, mostly on a deal-by-deal basis or with a joint venture structure, you know, circling around a specific segment of a particular market, I think for us, this Luxembourg structure now brings even more flexibility in the application across jurisdictions, across asset classes, you know, being a home for different investment partnerships, basically. And I think this is a big value for us also going forward, seeing the market still growing, but also getting more diverse, also diverse in the sense that there's the emergence of sub asset classes when you talk about reperforming, even performing loans being traded, but then also the wider space of, you know, NPL linked real estate business, or what you can call opportunistic real estate, which is also a bigger focus for us these days. Mm-hmm.
So maybe one last follow-up question. So you have this platform now set up, you see opportunities, new opportunities in the market. How would you say how do you differentiate yourself from, you know, your competitors?
Yeah, I think I said initially that we are part of the Otto Group, which provides us with the backing of a wealthy German family who has a quite long-term view. So our shareholder has a very long-term view on how to develop EOS as a business. And so far this has brought to us many advantages, you know, also developing our presences in countries, as I said, like comparatively small countries where there are many actually across Europe, as you know. Mm-hmm. However, where also, if you take them apart market by market, they're quite attractive if you have the chance to grow your business steadily, for example. For example, taking the example of Croatia, we've entered Croatia in 2009 and developed a local market pretty much for, you know, 7-8 years until they were the first major portfolio sales. But when these sales occurred, we were there and could really take advantage of that. And now, basically, Croatia is one of the countries which makes the most profit contribution in the whole group because of us being there at the right moment, even though it took some time. But it's not like the shareholder would be impatient because of that, and then we would eventually lose an opportunity. Because one thing in the NPL market is for sure, it's much about timing. So if you're there at the right time when large volumes are transacted, you get the chance to, you know, earn this profit and appreciate these vintages. If you're not, then that's not the case. So I think this patient capital ability to develop these local markets very deeply, and also having our own presence on the grounds. On each country, we have a local presence with local people, very experienced, very deep in terms of, you know, the value added services we are providing. So we are also very much in control of the asset management. And that brings us, I think, a strategic advantage, because it makes you quick in shifting around your focus or shifting around your strategic goals. And that has been, for EOS, has been a big advantage in the past in many situations.
Thank you, Jan. And thank you both for being with us today. That will be all for this episode. Thank you for listening, and hope you join us for the next episode.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you found it interesting. If you would like more information about our private debt expertise, we invite you to visit our website, www.arendt.com. If you don't want to miss our latest episode, please feel free to subscribe to our podcasts available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.